Taught Church of Christ. It's great to be together. It's great to see all of you. And it is especially cool to see Ken and Aaron in town from St. Louis. Those guys will be getting married here in how long?
About 6 weeks.
Okay, all right. And how many? 41 days? That's what I was originally looking for. And Ken broke it out. So, amen, Ken is leading. Amen. Usually when you ask the sisters, you know, when are you guys getting married, they'll break it down to, we've got 21 days, 34 seconds, and seven solas. It's like, man, okay, amen. You're ready for this, right? You're on top of this. Amen. That's great. Great to have all of you here. I wanted to just encourage the church. A few weeks ago, we had a hope event, and we invited the region, churches in our Heartland region, and even outside of our region to come here and to learn more about hope and equip all of the chapters and all of the churches. And a part of what we were doing, there was this exercise. There was a kid from he's not really a kid, but he's a he's younger than me, so yeah, he's a kid. He had kind of led a group, him and Wade Cook, who's the director of all of those things. They led this thing called a hackathon. And so they took all of our young folks after we finished everything, and they went into the back, and they brainstormed and came up with how to solve one of the world's problems. And so it's an opportunity for these young folks to really be able to make a difference in the world. And so those guys came up with some ideas and those different types of things. And what happens is video. They make a video and they make their pitch, and it goes throughout the region. And Hope, the higher-ups of Hope, they figure out who likes what. And then from each region, it goes into a national contest. And so once that national contest is finished up, and whoever wins, that's the Hope Initiative that we're going to tackle as a family of churches. So I am excited and proud in the Lord to announce to you that our group from here won our region and is now going on into the national contest. That's pretty cool. Oh, man, I know, right? Man, that's cool. Please be turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. That's going to be our text for this morning, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 44. In verse 44, thank you. If you don't have a Bible or a device, we have it there for you. The kingdom of heaven, this is what Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went out and sold everything he had and bought it. Jesus said this. These are the very words of God. Amen. Before we go any further, I'd like to show you a video, and we're going to touch all these things up together. Let me know when you're ready. I will set up this video. This is a show that's called Wife Swap. Have you ever seen that? Who's not familiar with Wife Swap? Okay, a couple of young folks, a couple of avid readers. Wife Swap is a show where they have these celebrity couples, and they swap wives. amen for the AV team. They were like, brother, we're going to have to audit this. We're going to have to edit this. But what you're going to see is, and it ties into everything that we're doing, but this couple is going to swap wives, and it's going to kind of break it down, but there's this one scene that's not in there that one individual believes that they're swapping everything. And when he approaches the new wife, the wife is like, uh-uh. And then they kind of move on. So I just want you to kind of understand where this thing and this piece is out. But we'll take a look at the video and then we'll jump into it.
Next time on Celebrity Wife Swap.
Say bye, Mama.
Soap legend Ron Moss and soap hunk Tyler Christopher.
Okay, that's it.
We can.
Christopher, swap wives for 1 week.
Time to wake up here.
This is completely and utterly ridiculous.
This comes down.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
That was the last straw for me.
And it's a dramatic conclusion when the celebrities come face to face.
He was like military about it.
Oh, what a horrible thing.
He's a control freak.
Next time on Celebrity Wife Swap.
Okay, we're good. Amen. Sorry, we tried to spare you that scene. Yeah, but amen. But what I want you to get out now, they swap wives. Okay, this is a show that comes on that people watch. They swap wives. And everybody has a different idea of what it means to swap wives. And you also have this way of life that you have. You got a way that you live and somebody else comes in. And now you swap wives. And so this wife comes in and she basically becomes the general of the household. She goes, well, this is how we do it at our house. And then the husband and the kids are like, we don't ever get up before 12 o'clock. Well, we're going to eat vegetarian food. No, we're trying to kill ourselves. It's Snickers and Hostess Ho-Hos and all of that stuff. I don't know what you're talking. So these couples end up fighting. Did you see the tape on the garage? And the guy comes in and he goes, oh, no, that's not going to fly here. And I want to ask you, what is the purpose of that show? When you really think about it, they're not really swapping. Because if you were to really swap, you would take on everything. There wouldn't even be any question. If you swapped, it's okay, however you guys do it, this is how we're going to do it. And the interesting thing is afterwards they get together and they kind of bicker back and forth. You know, your husband's a control freak. It was the most horrible thing I've ever experienced in my life. And I've had 10 kids. I mean, there's just all of this stuff. It's just, you know what I'm saying? There's all of these things that are being broke down. And with this supposedly being a swap, I believe that sometimes that's our spiritual lives. We swap our old life out, but then at the end of the day, we're pointing fingers, we're arguing about things, we've got this way of life that we had before we became Christians, and we're still trying to live those lives. We're going to God's word, we're going, oh no, this isn't going to fly, I got to do my thing, and then we start to do that amongst each other. And the reality is that if we look at a life swap, which is the title of the message, as people look at wife swap, we don't fully get to experience what Jesus, what God intended for us to experience. Okay? Okay? So we read the passage. Next slide. Let's first figure out what's going on here in this passage. First of all, let's just, if you were to look at the chapters before, Jesus tells these parables. And he's telling these parables and he's telling them to his disciples. He's telling them to non-disciples. the Pharisees. He's telling them to all of these people, and the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God he's talking about. And in these parables before, he talks about several different things that he's teaching his disciples, and they're to grasp hold of. I need to understand that as the word of God is put out there, people will respond in a certain way. And this is how I need to respond to it. So you have the parable of the sowers, and it talks about the parable of seeds being planted to grow, which is the kingdom of God, the word. And it falls on men and women's hearts. And some hearts are hard and it bounces off. Some hearts are receptive, but they're shallow. And when the heat comes, they fold up. Some, the seeds drop into hearts that are surrounded by thorns, and these thorns come up and they choke it out. And then there's good soil. And when these seeds fall into good soil, it produces fruit. Jesus says, you ought to be the good soil.
Yeah. Right.
Then Jesus tells a parable about weeds and wheat, and they grow up together. And he tells this amongst his disciples, and the disciples go, hey, you know, in the story, the person goes, there's wheat and there's weeds growing up together. Should we pull out the weeds? And the owner says, no, don't pull out the weeds, because if you pull out the weeds, you may uproot the wheat, because there's a similarity in there. And then he goes on and tells another parable, and he says, you know, as he explains it, he says, hey, all of these folks will grow up into whatever they'll grow up into, and the angels will eventually come, and they'll throw out. The angels are in charge of this. They'll throw out the weeds. That's their job, not yours. And he goes on with these parables. He talks about another one. I'm fired up about these parables. There's one about the mustard seed. The mustard seed, it starts out small. And it grows up into this large fruit-bearing plant. It provides shade. I mean, it does all of these different things. And then after another parable, he talks about yeast. And he talks about how yeast must first work its way through all of the dough, and when it does, then it'll rise up. But the yeast has to work its way through. Guys, you need to be patient. You've got to allow God's word. You've got to allow the kingdom. When it is fully grown, it will rise up and be something that you can never imagine. Just like wheat, just like the mustard seed. So you're going to have to persevere. And then he gets to this parable. Let's just jump into ours, the parable of the hidden treasures and the hidden treasure and the pearls. Now, I want you to imagine Jesus in the scenario and imagine yourself in this way, your people, whoever your people are. OK, let's say it's your family. And your family lives in such a way that's a bit dysfunctional. They're aware from the very beginning that somewhere along the line, someone's going to come and they're going to be a savior. They're going to bring an answer, yeah, to whatever is broken. It's going to reconnect the family. It's going to bring the family back into the rightful way that the family was supposed to live.
That's right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But here's the challenge. The family all acknowledges that this is going to happen. But you happen to be the one with the answer. And hardly anyone in your family believes you. And you're looking at your family, and there's alcoholism, pornography, there's unfaithful infidelity, there's just an inability to be able to communicate, there's strife in your family, there are all of these different things, and now you've got to picture yourself in this because you've grown up in it, and you know how painful it is, and you know how it separates people, you know how it destroys lives, you know how it has effect on everything outside of your family, and even the way that you view things. You know all of this, and you know the answer, and you're trying to bring the answer. And people don't believe you. You know, God has been working through the Israelites to bring people back to being the image bearers in a relationship with God. From the beginning of time when Adam and Eve sinned, he's been working from that point on trying to redeem his creation. And during the course of that, in those 2,000 years, there was always a prophecy of Jesus coming. And now when Jesus comes on the scene, when John the Baptist says, behold, the kingdom of God is near, and Jesus says, the kingdom of God is near, it's here, it's me. I bring the reign of the true king. There is a God who reigns, and his kingdom is now here on earth, and his edicts are to be lived out. This is the answer. Jesus is saying this in these parables. He's addressing the naysayers. He's teaching his disciples, and he's sharing that there is a new king who reigns above all, and his kingdom is how life is intended to be lived. Amen? So now when we hear the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field, when a man found it, he hid it again, went and he sold all that he had and bought that field. Now what's going on in the story? We don't really understand treasure that much, do we? Do we? I mean, how often do people find treasures? Very rarely. You're taking a big risk if you're looking for a treasure. That's how Westerners would look at this passage. It kind of doesn't, you know, young folks, you go, okay, somebody finds a treasure. Now, in ancient times, in ancient Palestine, with all the wars that would go on there, what would happen is there wasn't any banks. Okay? There were money changers, but that's not a bank. So because there weren't banks, people kept all of their wealth to themselves. Okay? They stored it with themselves. Now, here's the deal. There's so many wars going on. When wars go on, people come in and they pillage your village. They go through your cabinets, they overturn everything, and they get all of your riches, and they take them. So it was common practice for those in ancient times to split up their wealth. So they wouldn't leave it in the house because, hey, if there's a war jumping off, I'm not going to let anybody come in here and get everything that I had, because everything that they had was everything that they had. It's not like your bank account. You know what I'm saying? I got $200 in the bank, but I got about $500,000 in my 401k. It's not all split up. It's all together. This is your livelihood in those days. Does that make sense? And so that would be hidden in a field. Now, if you went off to war and you didn't come back, you took wherever that treasure was to your grave. Now, in this story, the man is probably a renter, or he's someone that's for hire and he's planting a tree, or he's doing some type of work for whoever owns the field. And so he's just out there doing his deal. He's planting his tree, or he's, you know, doing whatever he's doing. And he goes, scoop, scoop. Scoop, scoop. And he looks and he sees what it is. Pulls it out. Immediately puts it back in. Covers it up. And does his best nonchalant walk back to wherever his place is. Gets everything that he has. He sold his place. He sold his dog. He sold his donkey. He sold everything that he had. No question. He wasn't going, I wonder if I should do this. This is one of those, this is a once in a lifetime move here, and my life will change forever. And he comes back to the owner and he says, hey, here's what I got. Obviously, you know, you got me working for you and all of these other things. How about I just take this off your hands? And the owner goes, superb. They swap out. And this guy is fired up because he immediately understands that his life has been changed forever. Let's go on to the second story. Again, you guys all right?
Yeah.
The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now here's the part. I've read this a million times, and you can get pearls anywhere. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I go and I'm trying to get something for Wendy for her birthday or Mother's Day, and I'm looking at some other things, and there's always kind of pearls just sitting out there. You know what I'm saying? Pearl. You know, this is an extravagant pearl. $25. Pearls. Pearls. Dime a dozen. I mean, what do you think about pearls? I mean, they're awesome, but I'd rather have gold. Could I have platinum? Can I have some bonds? Can I have some stocks? I'd take anything over. I'd take Minecraft over some pearls. But see, in these guys' day, in ancient times, pearls are a big deal. You know, pearls are a big deal, and I want you to understand this about pearls. There's several scriptures that speak to the idea of pearls. Matthew 7:6, don't throw your pearls to swine. You know, and we think, like, pearls, man, $20, I, you know, here, have it. But pearls were a symbol of power and of being rich. You know what I'm saying? And I know you're not getting that, but I mean, it's a big deal to have pearls in those days. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, man, don't throw away your platinum to people that are pigs about the word of God. I mean, come on, man, don't do that. And you go, platinum. Okay, that makes a little more sense. You know what I'm saying? Don't throw away your house. You've paid off your home. Don't spoil that on somebody that's not into their risk. 1 Timothy 2:9. I just want to show you in scripture. Paul talks about how women are supposed to dress in the church, not with braided hair, wealthy, with gold, or with pearls. Gold and pearls. Yeah? In Revelation 18:11-12, the merchants on earth will weep and mourn, because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Their cargoes are gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls. So when Jesus comes, all wealth is insignificant. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It's like, what's going on? These individuals gave up their life, everything that they had, for something that they thought was more valuable. And I wanted to just show you, I wanted you to kind of get a picture. Is that video queued up?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, wow. Just another reminder, I'm getting old. Amen. So I just want to prove home the point of worth in modern day times, amen? Because pearls for us is like, yeah, whatever. Even when we see it in scripture, it's like, yeah, whatever. But this video right here.
You're strong. But I could snap my fingers and you'd all cease to exist.
Went forward in time to see all the possible outcomes.
Did we win any?
It's a small price to pay for salvation.
Avengers Infinity War.
Okay, amen. They're not paying me, so they're not going to get all of that. They should be paying me. Now, here's what I want you to grasp hold of. It's not the one that I wanted. The one that I wanted is probably about a four-minute video. But he said, let's do it. Infinity Stones. Is anybody familiar with Infinity Stones? Okay, let me. All of those Marvel movies that come out, they have to do with these Infinity Stones. All of them. And there's a fellow Thanos. There's a fella called Thanos that is trying to acquire these stones through all of these individuals. You saw Loki, you know, several individuals, Doctor Strange. There's these stones are powerful. I won't go into all of that, but I think that all of the stones, the beginning name of that spells out Thanos. I could be wrong, but I'm probably not. So what these stones do, if you've seen these movies, whoever is in control of these stones individually, they are on their way to ruling the world. Their power is boom. It's like, man, I got this. I was a chump before, but now that I got this, I have become the most powerful individual in the world.
Except for God, right?
Okay, amen. Stay in the movie with me, though, young lad. I'm getting there. These stones individually do their thing. But Thanos, who's been trying to get boys to do a man's job, and decides now, I'm going to come down and do a man's job and get all these stones together, because once I get all these stones together, I am going to rewrite this world the way that it's supposed to be. And when I put all of these stones together, there's nothing that can stop me. This treasure, this pearl, is as valuable as an infinity stone. It empowers. The kingdom of God is like Matthew 3. I mean, the kingdom of God is there's a king who is on his throne and his kingdom is here. And this kingdom changes our moral compass, our ethics, and it brings about an action that changes the world.
Yeah.
So for sinful thought, there is an answer there. For disparagement in marriage, there is an answer there. For identity that is maimed because we seek the world, that is all changed because of the kingdom of God.
Right.
The kingdom of God, when all of God's people come together, becomes more powerful.
Right. Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So now you start to understand, you young folks, you get this picture if you've watched these movies and you understand how people feel about Infinity Stones. And don't say if you've watched these movies that you haven't sat there and went, man, I wish I could have one of those. That's what the fella in the field and the individual that the merchant that found that pearl, that's how they felt. They gave up everything to have that. Amen? Next slide. That's what's going on. Now, please understand, if you understood that in the movie and there was just someone that said, hey, I've got all the Infinity Stones and I'll just hand them over to you. You just give me your life. Whatever your life is, I'll swap out with you. And you're going, my life's okay, but my life will be much awesomer. I don't care if that's a word, awesomer, if I can swap out with you. So what we need to understand is that these individuals, the worth of the pearl, the worth of the treasure was an even trade that they didn't balk at. Okay? Now, let me bring this onto your neighborhood, into your living room, and onto your coffee table. In your relationship with God, have you understood it as a swapping out of your life for His? Have you understood it as, I'm no longer to be me, but Jesus? This is a straight up life swap. There's two words that I want to help us to understand that get in the way of us being able to experience the kingdom of God the way it is meant to be experienced. One is sacrifice. We often consider our sacrifice an exchange for a spiritual infinity stone.
Oh, okay. Come on. That's good.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know about you, but my life outside of Jesus wasn't that awesome.
Right?
And I'm running around here thinking that, you know, man, I'm making all of these sacrifices and all of these different things, when the reality is we swapped lives and I became an image bearer here on earth. The other word is comparison. We oftentimes, after there's this swap, we get caught up in culture, we get caught up in relationships and other people that are wrestling with this transaction, and we stop being like Jesus because someone else in our eyes is not being like Jesus. Now, here's what I want you to understand. When you made this transaction, if you and me made a transaction, whatever happens to you once you walk away, somebody tries to rob you, you can't come back and say, hey, man, I want my money back. Does that make sense? I mean, you know, we make a transaction, boom, even trade. All right, you got it, I'm out, boom. And you get, hey, give it up. And you don't say, hey, man, take me to the death because I'm not giving this up. I'm going to go out with this. I'm not going to give it up and be walking around empty. You see the spiritual correlation? Sin steals our joy. We stop being what the transaction was. It's a lifestyle transaction. Does that make sense? It's not about what happens with somebody else. It's about you being an image bearer. It's about you, amen, doing what you do and allowing God to do what he does with that infinity stone. There is a salvation piece to it, but there is also a transformation piece that goes with us. We ought not be the same as we were last year. Does that make sense? And so there's a transaction that's an even trade, and we've got to embrace that. What gets in the way is we think that we're giving up more. Eternity for your little life. You get rich and you die and go to hell. You get rich, or you get the girl, or you get the guy, and you die and you go to hell. Everybody thinks you're awesome here on earth. You die and you go to hell. And that's the exchange for, man, I learn how to communicate. I learn how to do. I live in his kingdom, and God directs everything. And here's where we miss. We stop allowing God to direct everything. We get caught up, and we give away our affinity stone, which is the word of God and the Holy Spirit, because somebody doesn't want to follow his word when we need to stick with it. I'm guilty. I'm preaching to myself. Amen. So don't think that I'm trying to get after you. God's trying to get after you.
Yeah.
That's right.
So there's that transaction. It's straight across. It's a huge win for you. And we can't get caught up in comparison. Next slide. The question becomes, how do we respond? You know, God was speaking then to his creation, trying to draw them back into the life he intended them to have. I believe this morning, as we look at the scriptures, God is still speaking. What is the bottom line of this passage? The treasure is Jesus. The life swap, the kingdom, Jesus is the representation of the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
God and his rule and reign here on earth and what it looks like. That's what we see in the Gospels. So this is a part where if you don't understand that, I would invite you to tap somebody on the shoulder and please say, please study the Bible with me and help me to understand this king, his reign, and his kingdom, and how I can be a part of it. That's one way to respond to it. Another way is to really understand and embrace the areas where you haven't allowed there to be a full exchange. Yeah, there's areas in our lives. Where have I not? Where am I still living like this is a wife swap? Jesus has come in, his word has come in, his Holy Spirit has come in, and I'm still fighting. And I want to sit around with somebody afterwards and I want to argue about how terrible it is. Well, the world is, what if we were all in the gospel infinity stones And when we're all put together, and when we all work together, there's nothing that can withstand what God is doing. Maybe you need to band together. Maybe you're not in a life group. Maybe you're not in one another relationships. Maybe you're not connected and you need to get connected to experience the full power of God.
Right.
Maybe this morning you've been doing this. You've been embracing the gospel. You've been weathering the storms of Satan. And you need to be drawn back to that we're called as disciples to persevere. Amen. We're called to persevere. At the end of the day, the bottom line, as Jesus tells this story, in order for you to experience the kingdom of God, you have to surrender all. You have to surrender all. Your everything, your whole life, your love, those idols you have in your life, those secret sins, those obvious sins, you know, the ones where you go, well, that's just me. Those things got swapped when you were baptized into Christ. Maybe some of you need to be baptized into Christ. You need to repent and be baptized into Christ. Be forgiven of your sins. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm just talking Acts 2 now. And be added to the family of God. You know, I'm not going to try to touch everything. The Holy Spirit is speaking into your lives.
Amen.
Where you need to respond. I'm going to pray. And then we'll continue our service. Thank you for your kind attention. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your grace and mercy. Thank you so much for the power of your kingdom that whether we see it in the lives of others or our own lives, seen in your word. And when we follow your word, you become more evident in our lives. We ask your forgiveness for the times when we live out our relationship with you as if it were a wife swap rather than a life swap. We pray for boldness as a church to live lives that are life swaps, and to be image bearers of you, and to proclaim the way that we live, the way that we think, the way that we treat each other, the way that we treat people that are not in the congregation. We treat them like you treated individuals through Jesus. We pray that people become Christians. We pray that people's faith is encouraged. We pray, Father, that folks are loosed from the chains of sin. In Jesus' name this morning.
Amen.
We thank you for this time to be together. We thank you again for your word and your providence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah.